Now, last November, we spoke to my next guest as he embarked on a new world record. And he was attempting to do the longest distance driving on ice in 1 week. It's quite specific. So at the beginning of the year, he headed off to Siberia. And let's see how he got on. Gary O'Keefe, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Ray. How are you doing?
Good. Good to talk to you again.
Likewise.
So you were in with Declan and a young lad with a camera.
That's right. Nisha Kettle from County Leash. Nisha from Leash.
Nisha from Leash. Okay. So tell us about Lake Baikal, just to remind people.
Right. Well, Lake Baikal is in the middle of Siberia in Russia. It's kind of north of Mongolia. And it is the biggest freshwater reserve in the world. And it's a mile deep.
A mile deep, right.
It is.
And if you were going to break this record, as opposed to the ice, this is the place you were going to do it.
It is. It's one of the only places that you will have like non-permanently frozen ice in the world that's that long. So if you want to do a big, long drive, you'd either have to go around in rings for a week in on a small lake and hope it wouldn't break,
right,
or you go to Lake Baikal. And even then... with global warming and stuff, it's not guaranteed not to freeze, to freeze properly. So it's dangerous.
Remind me why you were doing this. What's the attraction?
Well, I suppose I have a blog called One Eye on the World, and there's lots of guys with me, like Kevin Eamons from Dublin and Declan McAvoy from Clare and Mark Kent from England, all these guys. And we're all kind of amateur enthusiast adventurers.
Right.
And Russia has been a big pull for us all. You know, it's probably the last wildest frontier on the planet that's so big and so wild and all that. So I suppose we just have a bit of a bug for adventure.
Great. And to achieve this, you had to build your own truck.
Well, just to be clear, we didn't have to, but we decided we wanted to.
Right, okay.
So the truck was built by a few local friends of mine, Matt McGrath and Nick Chester and Norman Vance. There was a load of lads helped. And this was really like a total amateur thing. And everywhere you go in Russia, you see these things called UAZ vans. Older people remember them as like, they look like Commer vans or bread vans or something. And we modified it to be tough and rough, but it was really like cobbled together.
And did you have to bring that from here to there?
Yeah. So we drove it to we got it on a truck from Port Leash all the way to Lithuania.
Right.
I flew to Lithuania, picked it up on the truck, and blagged my way across the border from Latvia as far as Moscow. And then we put it on another truck, and it went missing. It kind of got stolen on the way, believe it or not. And eventually, it turned up about a week late from our start time.
Okay, and you know, with the you know, obviously the language difference would be difficult enough, but you're trying to explain to these people that you've made this truck at home in Leash, County Leash in Ireland, and that you're heading to Siberia to try and break a Guinness World Record by driving across a lake that's frozen. How did that go? The first
thing you do is deflect attention and create a problem that doesn't exist that's easier to solve. So it's like you can't drive a modified vehicle in Russia unless you have special permission.
Okay.
So we kind of convinced them it wasn't what it looked like.
Right.
it was an Irish machine with an Irish reg plate, which it did have.
Okay, right. So you got there, and the good news is that you are now sitting on a Guinness World Record.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. It got verified last Friday. And I'll have to tip my hat to my colleague and neighbour and friend and co-pilot, John Quinn, who was our bursar, our cook, our patriarchal, or whatever you call it. Sometimes he was like a mammy and sometimes he was like a very cross daddy.
Right.
But he pushed through the detail of the record. But yeah, absolutely, we're sitting on a record and we're waiting for the second one, because remember, there were six guys who rode six motorcycles on the ice. Yeah. So they were Declan McAvoy from Clare, Kevin Eamons from Dublin, Mark Kent from England, Fritz from Germany, Carlos from Lithuania, and a guy called Mariano Carloni from Argentina, whose mammy's name is Nora O'Shea, which has never been to Ireland.
Ah, there you go. There's a big connection between Ireland and Argentina.
Massive, yeah.
So how will it read on their website and hopefully in the book? So it's go on.
So it's the longest distance travelled over ice in 1 week.
Right, and the distance is?
798.3 kilometres.
Well done.
And thank you.
Was there any cracking ice?
there was. I suppose looking back on it, you know the way people get delayed, shocked. Now, I didn't get shocked. I wouldn't be so soft. But it's only when you're thinking of things in your warm sitting rooms that, geez, that actually was a bit dodgy. So we were driving along on the first day, and you know you're a bit apprehensive. Then you get a little bit of confidence, and you say, this isn't so bad. And then we drove over what looked like a patch of snow, and myself and John looked at each other and said, that was a bit dodgy. That must have been just a bit of snow. And the ice captain ran up to us after and showed us fairly ominous pictures of where our back wheels had actually gone straight through the ice. So that was a bit of a worry.
Right.
And that happened us a couple of times. And on one occasion, we met a big, massive crack which had water right up to the surface. And the only way across it was to jump it, literally go back about 200 metres, put the boot down as fast as the old truck could go, and literally jumped the crack.
You daredevil, you.
Well, we had no other option, right? I'm afraid if I could have found any other way, I would have done
evil
it.
Evil Knievel, like.
Well, no, it was a half metre wide now.
Right, okay. Look, don't ruin the image here.
Yeah.
Radio, what? Pictures in the imagination or whatever it is.
Yeah, okay, there's a big massive crack one way. Yeah, it was about 2 miles wide the other way.
So the further you went, the further you were away from land.
Well, yes and no. I mean, if you look at it on the map, north. We did it north to south, and it's a big, long, narrow lake.
Right. So you're, yes.
So there's, the width of it is only about 100 kilometres wide at its widest. But, I mean, when you're in the middle there, you can't see the side in places, and sometimes you're very close to it. But, you know, if you're 500 metres from the shore, it might look like a lot on your GPS. But if you had to...
If the ice is cracking around you, yeah, that's a long distance.
Yeah, and it's not as... it's hard to imagine it, but, I mean... We met walls of ice that were like 6 foot tall in sheets, and you'd be scratching your head to know how did they get there. But it's like how kind of waves in the lake form and push.
So they'd crack up like tectonic plates, and then they'd stay in that position.
And that's right. And a very big worry we had because it's a center of a lot of tectonic movement. So there are lots of earthquakes there, and that obviously cracks the ice. That was a constant risk. And the week that we did it, we stopped at one of the famous places, which is called Olchan Island, and it's kind of a tourist destination for people of such a nature. But a week later, the ice captain sent us a picture of the very place in which we were filming, and two cars went through the ice.
Right. And just, you've thought of this, obviously. So if that did happen, what happens?
So good point. So, you know, all joking and aside and all that, you have to have life preservation kind of at the front of your mind. So the advice is for the bikes, generally the bikes were pretty okay. They're pretty light, except for Kevin's bike, because he's a big lump of a man. So he was a bit heavier. But the rest of them are all slim fellas. Of course, I'm joking. but the bikes could literally, you know, zip around fairly handy. It wasn't too much of a critical thing if they went through. It would be tricky, but, you know, they got their advice. But the advice we were given is, if your back wheels go through, put the boot down as if you're going through a sticky gap and stay going. If your front wheels go through, run for the back door. Don't hesitate, because we had the windows sealed up with silicone to keep out the cold.
Right.
You can't just wind down the window. You can't open the door if you're gone through a metre of ice.
Yeah.
So we were hoping to get out through the back. Now, looking back on it, it mightn't have been so easy because we were so full of gear and stuff like that.
But it didn't happen. What did happen was that you got very sick. Was it the stress or the conditions or what was it?
I don't know. I mean, probably got a bit of unlucky, really. I got a bad kind of a chest infection, as I thought, starting off, and I was sick all the way through, and the guys were giving me a lot of slagging and hassle and calling me soft and so on. It was a bit green looking one of the days, I think. And there might be even some film footage of that. But when I got back, it was kind of a tricky enough situation. And with COVID and all this, you're kind of worried about stuff. So I went to a specialist, and I actually had pneumonia for the whole trip. So if any of my colleagues are listening, I would like to
apology.
I told you I was sick.
That's Spike Milligan's epitaph, isn't it?
I told you I was sick. But I want an apology from all of them for giving me abuse.
Right. So back to Nisha from Leisha, who was one of the cameramen on it, and then you had another guy, and the sort of executive director, if you like, consultant director, is a guy who has worked with Charlie Borman and Ewan McGregor.
Claudio Van Planta.
Yes.
Claudio Van Planta,
That's world class you're dealing with there.
Yeah, well, he we convinced him, like, we allowed him to work with us because we told him that we were world class, obviously.
Right.
But when we got him, yeah, I mean, the man is world class, and he's just finished The Long Way Up, the third iteration of that series, yes, with Ewan McGregor. And ours is going to be obviously much better.
Of course. But your personality.
Well, I don't know about that either. But anyway, but yeah, we had a guy called Alex Hick, who was our main cameraman. He's an award-winning guy that Claudio worked on some projects with before. And we were very excited to have a young chap from Laois, really a rising star, called Laois Kettle. He was 18 years old, and his dad came along as our producer. I more or less think that his dad came along to make sure we didn't kill poor Laois.
Right.
But they worked their tails off, and right, this chap is going to be a rising star.
You have 4 hour long documentaries, which are...
Four half hours.
And where will we see them?
Well, we don't know yet. RT head management is listening, we're just about ready to start pitching, but okay, we have made fairly advanced pitches, and we have people like Netflix and Amazon are talking to us, and we have a distribution agent from Dublin. We're keeping as Irish as we can.
Yeah, it'd be great to show something like that on RT first, wouldn't it? Before you went off.
Oh, sure, it'd be marvellous.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll have a word. The only problem is I've no sway here whatsoever. No influence whatsoever.
<That's> okay. Well, look, it will be a great testament to all the guys on the trip when this thing gets broadcast. And it's really some high quality stuff in there.
Well, listen, congratulations on the one record. Good luck with getting the other one for the motorbikes. And let us know when it's on telly somewhere, and we'll watch it and let people know when it's on.
Absolutely, Ray.
Gary O'Keefe, thanks. Well done, Gary.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.